What makes a story true? Is it the facts we can verify or the meaning we extract from them? These questions pulse at the heart of one of the most celebrated novels of our time, a tale so extraordinary that even Barack Obama felt compelled to write its author, calling it an elegant proof of God. When a teenage boy survives 277 days adrift in the Pacific Ocean with a 450-pound Bengal tiger, we're forced to confront something unsettling. Sometimes the most unbelievable stories reveal the deepest truths about what it means to be human. Pasin Molitor Patel, mercifully shortened to Pi after years of schoolyard teasing, grows up in the sensory paradise of his father's zoo in Pondicherry, India. His mornings begin with lion roars, his afternoons observing animal hierarchies. But his pragmatic father teaches him a crucial lesson. He forces young Pi to watch a tiger devour a goat, ensuring his son understands that wild animals are governed by instinct, not Disney fantasies. Yet Pi's most remarkable characteristic isn't his zoological knowledge, it's his spiritual appetite. At 14, he practices Hinduism, Christianity, and Islam simultaneously. When his three religious mentors discover they're sharing a disciple and demand he choose, Pi responds, "If there's only one nation in the sky, shouldn't all passports be valid for it?" Political turbulence convinces Pi's father to sell the zoo and emigrate to Canada. 4 days after the Japanese cargo ship Tsim-Tsum leaves Manila, disaster strikes. Pi wakes to strange sounds and finds the ship listing dangerously. Crew members throw him into a lifeboat that drops violently into churning waters. A zebra crashes aboard, then a hyena, followed by orange juice, a gentle orangutan. Finally, Richard Parker, a magnificent Bengal tiger, hauls himself into the tiny vessel. Pi watches helplessly as the Tsim-Tsum slips beneath the Pacific, taking his parents and brother with it. The lifeboat becomes a floating arena where nature's hierarchy unfolds with merciless clarity. The hyena devours the injured zebra alive over several agonizing days. When it turns on orange juice, the maternal orangutan fights with desperate courage, but her resistance proves futile. Then Richard Parker emerges, dispatching the hyena swiftly and establishing the final dynamic: tiger as apex predator, with Pi forced to find his precarious place. Pi's zoological knowledge transforms from academic interest to literal lifeline. Understanding that Richard Parker retains conditioned responses to human authority, Pi employs sophisticated psychological strategy, using the tiger's seasickness to his advantage, marking territory through urine and controlling food distribution. He creates a system of whistles and rewards, establishing himself as the source of order and sustenance. This delicate balance never eliminates the constant threat, but creates enough structure for coexistence. As Pi realizes, it wasn't him or me, but him and me. The tiger's presence forces Pi to remain vigilant and purposeful rather than surrendering to despair. Pi's 227 days at sea become a masterclass in human adaptation. He constructs a tethered raft, establishes territorial divisions with Richard Parker, and develops systems for collecting rainwater and catching fish. The physical toll is devastating. Saltwater boils, blistered skin, relentless hunger. When rations run out, this lifelong vegetarian transforms into a resourceful hunter, catching fish, turtles, and sharks with his bare hands. He kills his first fish through tears, but necessity quickly erodes moral qualms. How much of our identity depends on circumstances we've never truly tested? The psychological battle proves equally brutal. Pi fights despair through rigid routine and religious practice, conducting improvised rituals from all three faiths. Yet paradoxically, Richard Parker, initially his greatest threat, becomes essential to survival. Without the tiger demanding his attention and strategy, Pi might have surrendered to hopelessness. After a passing ship fails to notice them, Pi declares, "I love you," to the beast. The tiger represents both danger and purpose, forcing Pi to engage with life rather than passively accepting death. After months at sea, Pi discovers an impossible floating island made entirely of algae, stretching beyond the horizon, dotted with freshwater ponds and populated by thousands of meerkats. For the malnourished Pi, this appears as divine intervention. He regains strength consuming the algae and drinking crystal clear water, while Richard Parker hunts the docile meerkats. But paradise reveals its sinister nature. The island becomes carnivorous at night, producing acidic conditions that dissolve organic matter on its surface. The meerkats climb trees en masse as darkness falls. Richard Parker returns to the lifeboat each evening. The horror crystallizes when Pi finds a tightly wrapped leaf containing human teeth from previous castaways who succumbed to this deceptive sanctuary. Despite the comfort and abundance, Pi chooses to leave this false paradise and return to the honest dangers of the open sea. Apparent salvation sometimes comes with hidden costs, and comfortable stagnation proves more dangerous than acknowledged hardship. When Pi reaches Mexico's shores, he's barely alive, emaciated, unable to walk, nearly blind. Richard Parker leaps from the boat and vanishes into the jungle without acknowledgement, devastating Pi. "I've never forgiven him for not turning back to acknowledge our relationship." The tiger's departure embodies a harsh truth. Wild animals remain true to their nature, despite our human tendency to anthropomorphize them. When skeptical Japanese investigators press Pi for what really happened, he offers a darker alternative. The lifeboat contained his mother, a Chinese sailor with a broken leg, and the ship's brutal cook. The cook amputates the sailor's leg for bait, then butchers and consumes him. When Pi's mother confronts this horror, the cook murders her. Pi kills the cook and survives alone, haunted by what he became. The parallels emerge. The cook is the hyena, the sailor is the zebra, Pi's mother is orange juice, and Richard Parker represents Pi's own savage survival instinct, the part he needed to embrace yet struggles to face. The tiger story becomes a psychological shield, processing trauma through metaphor. When officials select the animal story for their report, Pi responds, "Thank you, and so it goes with God," elevating everything into profound meditation on faith. Life of Pi celebrates our capacity to transform suffering into meaningful narrative. Pi survives not just physically, but spiritually by creating a story he can live with. Whether Richard Parker was real or metaphorical matters less than what he represents, the part of ourselves that emerges in extreme circumstances, both terrifying and necessary. We all construct narratives about our experiences. Pi asks, isn't telling about something, using words, already something of an invention? The novel suggests religious traditions function as stories, helping us make sense of life's randomness. Pi's multiple religious practices aren't contradictory, but complementary, different narratives addressing the same fundamental human needs. The novel's power lies in its invitation to embrace the more beautiful story, not because it's factually true, but because it helps us survive and find meaning. Faith isn't about proving what happened, it's about choosing what we believe. Perhaps the greatest human capacity isn't surviving impossible circumstances, but finding the story that makes survival worthwhile.